You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns, so get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple or Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. And again, I highly recommend, all our content. I just did a piece about this coach search and the fact that three defensive coaches, including Todd Bowles, who has since withdrawn his name, but three have been part of the search, and what this means, kind of comparing, contrasting to the conventional wisdom that it's all about offense, all about Adam Gase, just trying to give you a sense that you really can't lock into one side of the ball as you're looking at this. Not that you can't, but that it does, the Browns clearly are not and are keeping themselves open to both. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, and this is a Football Thursday edition of CBD. We're going to have at the bottom of the hour John Murphy. He is the voice of the Buffalo Bills, longtime friend. We go back to the days of covering that team together, and John will tell us a lot about the latest version of Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator of Buffalo version of Pettine. That's only been this past year, but he's gotten to know him, and he'll have some thoughts for sure about Pettine. And then at 2:15, you'll hear from Doug Deacon. We're going to do our offensive line positional review and grading on the show. Let's go to calls, and we invite you to dial us up, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Doug in Ashland is first with us now. Hello, Doug.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Hey, I've really enjoyed this piece. Really, really good stuff. I think you guys are zeroing in on some of the real problems the Browns have. And what I wanted to bring up regarding this, the edge that you were talking about, is look how hard these surviving teams, especially New England and Seattle, come off the ball. They're hustling. It's not that they're that much faster than other offensive linemen and defensive linemen. They're busting their butt, man, just like the Ravens did when they were younger.
That's a great point.
To me, that's huge. And the other thing, and then I was listening to your comments, is I was thinking about this Manziel thing, and I thought, you know what? I know who I haven't heard a comparison to. Roger Staubach, when he was at Navy. Check it out. I even found an old Hal Leibowitz column from 1963. Hal liked him. He said anybody that's got field vision like that is smart and you want him. I don't care how big or little he is. And Staubach was no 6'5 guy.
No.
Well, that's all, guys. I appreciate it, man. Good show.
Done. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, I've heard Archie Manning from the Ole Miss days as a comparison for John football.
I love the Staubach comparison. Of course, I grew up watching Roger and Archie. And watching Roger, there are a lot of similarities there. The difference, though... And Roger Staubach used to drive Tom Landry nuts. Tom Landry was very much of the total conservative, conventional thinking of football. He wanted the highest percentage of everything on every play. And just as he looked, that button-down look and the fedora that he wore on the sideline, the suit, the whole old-school look, back in the day when coaches dressed like that on sidelines, like Paul Brown did many, many years ago. That was his temperament and his mentality. But to his credit, he changed. He was flexible enough, as Don Shula was when a guy named Dan Marino shows up in Miami, to go with what that quarterback strength was. And as much as Roger ran around and did all this conventional stuff, ad-libbing stuff, Landry hated it, but then kind of came around to appreciating what it could mean because it was successful. I think with a guy like Johnny Manziel, your coach, again, regardless of what side of the football he is on, your coach is going to need to tap into that strength and embrace that strength, the strength being the guy's ability to move and ad-lib and extend plays and make plays. You can't go into his football, his NFL career reinventing him, or else that'll be a disaster.
It will be a disaster. It will be an unmitigated disaster. John football needs to be John football, and you need to have a coach who's willing to adapt that style. Now, can he be the guy who scrambles around and runs around like a crazy man as he does in college in the NFL? No. He's going to have to refine his game, but still that improv ability and the playmaking ability is what makes him special. Got time for one more bark here. Scott on a cell phone. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Good.
Hey,
by Liberty Ford.
Notorious, Nate. What's up, man?
Hey, brother.
What's going on, Scott?
So, hey, listen, I'm all for the Browns being very patient, and you know, at this point, you want to get the right guy. You're not going to find, you know, why don't you wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks? You know, I think it's more important, obviously, and come August and September, we're going to care about more. We have the right guy. And I'm guessing similar last year. They're probably going out and interviewing all these guys. Maybe if you get a guy like Case who's young and probably doesn't have that many connections in the NFL, then maybe help him find assistance. My question comes to, you know, with the draft being so important for this team and the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl coming up, how are we going to, like, how are scouts going to be able to hone in on what a coach's philosophy is going to be if they don't have a coach in place? But this draft being so important, this free agency period being so important for the Browns, making sure that we're scouting guys that are going to fit the philosophy of our coach that's not hired yet. That's my concern.
Yeah, that's a valid one, and I think a good one, and one that, Vic, you and I have brought up on this show. I don't think there's going to be a coach by the Senior Bowl. I'm going to go ahead and say that I believe that there will not be a coach in place. So it puts pressure on the evaluators to evaluate kind of in isolation and then give their best guess at how they're going to fit in the various schemes. Now, if maybe the Browns have said, listen, we've narrowed it down to, you know, Dan Quinn, Andrew Gates, or Adam Gase, I'm sorry, or Mike Pettine, maybe you have a little bit of an idea defensively what you're looking at with those guys, and on the offensive side of the ball what you'd be looking at with Gase. But you're not going to know your staff, you're not going to know your coordinators or your schemes at that point.
You're not, but it's not the problem that I think people think it is, and I'll explain why. The scouting process doesn't begin with these bowl games coming up. And just as a reminder, I will be in Mobile, Alabama all next week doing Cleveland Browns Daily. From there, obviously, we'll adjust if a coach is hired, and that can change our plans. But right now,
that's the plan.
The plan is to be there in Mobile doing this show, doing my portion of it, and I'll be, of course, working with Nathan, who'll be up here in Northeast Ohio. But that all said, as far as the issues of scouting talent when you don't have a staff in place, the scouting process is administered, overseen by Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi. The grading system, the qualities of players you're looking for, all those intricate details of the type of guy and the qualities he'll have athletically and so forth and football, all of the numbers that go to that, all of the assessment and analysis on that is dictated by your scouting structure, which is constant. So the coach can change, but it doesn't change your scouting system. And now I'll explain why this ultimately can work. And it's not just a Browns thing. I'm giving this to you from an NFL point of view, general point of view.
Yep.
So they've been analyzing these players. They've got grades on players already. They've had grades going on since November. They had like a first stab at a board since then. There is a board in place that accounts for mostly the draft eligible players, and this was done prior to knowing which underclassmen would declare, and a record number of underclassmen are declaring for the draft. I mean, a load of them.
96, I believe.
Something like that. So
count.
Very, very high number of underclassmen who are coming into the draft. So you have alternatives for those players. You have you have a plan set up to assess those guys as well. But what you do is you go into the Senior Bowl, the East-West game, Senior Bowl, all these college All-Star games with the same process of assessing and evaluating that you've had in place. Stay true to your system of grading. And then when you have your head coach and you've had a chance to, first of all, you're picking your head coach, knowing what his system is all about. His coordinators will also be tied into that thinking. And the way this organization has run is, I don't know that the head coach is on his own in picking those coordinators. It could be different this time around, but for Chud, the selections of North Turner and Ray Horton were mostly dictated by Joe Banner and Jimmy Haslam. And we'll see how that comes into play for this time around. But that will influence the types of players you then pull from your large pool. So you're assessing upwards. You start with about 5,000 college players. That gets winnowed down to about 500 very quickly, and then ultimately you end up with about 200, maybe 250 as your board going into the draft. So along the way, you're applying those grades. Then you determine who from that group is going to be your best fit among the, right, in the case of the Browns, 10 that you draft. And I know that number can change, obviously, with trades. But right now, the 10 that you draft, those that you sign in free agency. So it will work. Your scouting system is in place, and your coaching system, when it comes into place, you'll pick players that fit that. You won't try, if this is a 3-4 or 4-3 or hybrid scheme, you're going to assess those athletes accordingly. Whatever kind of offense you run, the kinds of receivers you're looking for, you pretty much know who you want to have here. So this is not a problem, as much of a problem as maybe some people might think. All right, John Murphy going to join us, the voice of the Buffalo Bills. We're going to hear about Mike Patton from him, the defensive coordinator of the Bills. That's next on CBD, ESPN 850, WKNR.